Earth, sky.
When half of the world's population is under 25, it's a huge, 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 hugely important population to be focusing on. Young people in developing countries face sort of heightened challenges, challenges of gender-based violence, challenges of early marriage and lack of knowledge about reproductive health.
You're listening to Dr. Karen Hardy, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Hardy is an expert on the health issues facing young people around the world as they navigate the transition from childhood to adulthood. She said that in some countries, relationships, sex, and having children can be high-risk activities, but international programs are attempting to change that. Karen Hardy spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson.
So your research found that a focus on girls helped in conveying information about reproductive health to people in developing nations. Please describe these girls for us, like their ages, where they live, and also the kinds of health issues they're dealing with.
Sure. So we found 40 interventions, many of which included girls, and they were, ranged in age from 15 to 24. There were a lot of interventions in Africa, Asia, some in Latin America, and Eastern Europe.
And talking about reproductive health issues, what exactly does reproductive health mean, and what kind of issues fall under this heading?
The reproductive health outcomes that we were looking at and that girls face as they go through the transition from sort of childhood through adolescence to adulthood, to make sure that they have the information and the skills to make voluntary and informed decisions about their reproductive health. For example, when to start having sex, reducing unintended pregnancies, reducing the risk of violence that they face sometimes in their lives in many countries. When they do get pregnant, safe pregnancy, and also to reduce HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. So those are the sort of reproductive health issues that a lot of these projects are focusing on.
So would you say that reproductive health is kind of generally about relationships between men and women and negotiating a way to make that more equal?
That's exactly right. Make it more equal and make it safe for both the women and for the men.
So why do you think that focusing on girls when doing these programs is so effective?
As I was saying, helping girls as they go through the transition to adulthood to be able to make healthy and informed decisions about their own sexuality and about their own reproductive health really is beneficial to girls. Nearly half of the world's population is under 25, including an estimated 1.2 billion people who are young people who are aged 10 to 19, and these are mostly in developing countries. So focusing on girls who are in a lot of cases at higher risk for poor reproductive health outcomes, clearly because they are the ones, women are the ones who can get pregnant, just makes a lot of programming sense. It makes sense for the girls, and it makes sense also for the boys to work on the boys also at the same time, because what we find is that gender norms, and these are the sort of societal rules on how boys are supposed to act and how girls are supposed to act, really have an effect on both girls' reproductive health, but also on boys' reproductive health. And working with communities, working with parents, working with community leaders, working with teachers really is the best way to reach young people to improve their reproductive health.
Can you describe a particular program that worked, and how was success measured in terms of saying that this program worked?
Sure. We found a number of programs that work. And again, some of the best programs were really comprehensive programs. The one I want to just talk about as an example is the Ishraq program, which means enlightenment in Arabic. And this took place in Upper Egypt in Minya province. And this worked with girls who were ages 13 to 19. And it offered them, and it also worked with promoters, sort of community leaders who would work with the girls, and also with the girls' family to sort of get the entire environment that the girls were in. It worked with girls to improve their literacy skills, taught them some math skills. It also taught them reproductive health and life skills. And it also gave them outlets for community participation, particularly in sports and physical activities, which tend to be the purview of boys. So it's getting girls involved in these activities. And also home skills and livelihoods, which is teaching them sort of skills that they can then work. They evaluated this by using what's called an experimental group of the girls that had access to each of these program elements, and they compared them to similar girls that did not have access to these project activities. And what they found is that the girls who were in these project activities had a lot less tolerance, for example, for violence against women. They had less tolerance for the idea of female genital cutting. They had a lower desire for early marriage among themselves and among girls. And they also had higher levels of gender equitable attitudes. So this program really did have very beneficial outcomes for the girls.
Right. And so why teach these skills? Why did these skills make such a difference in women's attitudes towards reproductive health and gender differences?
Well, one of the things that we find is that for women to be able to exercise sort of choice in reproductive health, it helps to have them empowered in other aspects of their lives. For example, if they have more equal, and if boys also have more equitable attitudes towards gender and equality, then it helps, for example, with couple communication related to sex and related to reproductive health. And if girls have more outlets in communities, then they're sort of less exposed to unwanted sex, for example. And if they have skills, job skills, again, they have other outlets that instead of just early marriage, sexual activity, early childbearing, having many kids.
And so in terms of the big picture, why is it important to focus on young people in the developing world?
Well, again, you know, the young people are you know, we always sort of say the young people are the future, but young people are the present also. And you know, when half of the world's population is under 25, it's a huge, 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 hugely important population to be focusing on. And young people in those countries, young people in all countries really face the same sort of gender norms that need to be questioned, and the need for gender, for equality between young men and young women. But young people in developing countries face sort of heightened challenges of gender-based violence, challenges of early marriage. In some countries, girls are expected to get married at, you know, age 13, and which leads them to lives of isolation and lack of knowledge about reproductive health, lack of knowledge about protecting themselves against having children that they may not want to have at times that they may not want to have them. So it's important programming.
You've been listening to Karen Hardy, president of the consulting firm Hardy Associates and senior visiting fellow at the Population Reference Bureau. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.